God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
Welcome to our show. This is Pastor Larry. In the very near future, we're going to be visiting with guests who are survivors of the coronavirus. We will air those shortly. Please remember our midweek Bible study. You can get it on our YouTube channel and Facebook page on late Wednesdays. For those of you who want to have a Bible study but are not able to go to a church meeting, and maybe you don't have a church Bible study online, we are providing this service for you. We're going through the book of Genesis. It is, of course, a very, very important book. I want to encourage our listeners to pray for our country. The U.S. Constitution is the last remaining wall keeping America from total tyranny. Those who would take away the constitutional liberties that we have are trying, in a variety of ways, to use the coronavirus pandemic as a way to abridge our liberties. This is a very, very serious situation. There are some in our country who are using scare politics to bring in total surveillance and tracking of private citizens. Quarantine enforcement measures to prevent the spread of COVID-19 have motivated some state and local officials to impose restrictions that trample religious liberty. Government must not treat religious institutions unfairly. In some places, churches are being closed, but liquor stores and abortion mills are functioning as usual. We need to be vigilant. Michael Samuel Smith is back with us. We're going to continue to discuss his new video, The Samson Paradox. One of the things that I enjoyed about the video and the material that it presents is seeing the sheer wealth and depth of the Word of God. Indeed, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it really is profitable. Dear Brother Mike, thank you for being back with us once again.
Well, thank you, Pastor Larry. It's always great to be back with you. You've been very kind.
You know, I've just kind of, to start things going, I think I know you a little bit better than I did a couple of years ago, but I can just imagine how the Lord works in your heart, reveals things to you by His grace, and of course, you're not taking any prizes for that or any applause. You're very, very humble. But I think it's so wonderful. You are a real example to every Christian to study the Word of God prayerfully, thoroughly, to use a concordance, to look for the symbols, the things of significance. And I think you've been richly rewarded by the Lord. You're a wonderful example.
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you to say that. Thank you.
Well, Brother Mike, we wanted to let everyone know that you are going to connect all the prophetic dots in this story today. And I know everyone will be blessed. Brother Mike, as we go into the last chapter of Samson, chapter 16 in Judges, Samson meets up with two women. Would you briefly tell us who they are?
Yes, I'll be happy to do that. So far, just about everything that Samson does in his life, he acts in a very unstable way and at times uses his immense power only to glorify himself. Of course, that continues in chapter 16. Samson now goes to a place called Gaza. I'm sure we've all heard of that place. And he has an encounter with a prostitute that is not named. The Philistines get wind that Samson is there. They're planning to kill him when he comes out in the morning, but Samson leaves at midnight. As he leaves the city, he pulls up two posts that held up the gates to the city and carries the gates on his shoulders off to the area of Hebron, probably thousands of pounds, I might add. The story now transitions to a place where Samson is in the Valley of Sorek. By the way, Sorek in Hebrew is choice vine. He has a girlfriend there who is named Delilah. This is the last and third woman in Samson's life. Delilah has a few meanings in Hebrew, but one of them is lustful. The Philistines find out Samson has a relationship with this woman and ask her for her help to find out where Samson gets his strength. Each lord of the Philistines will pay her 1,100 pieces of silver if she supplies that answer. Now, the book of Judges does not say how many Philistine lords that there are. However, in Joshua chapter 13, verse 3, it does mention it there. It says that there are five lords of the Philistines. So that would equal 5,500 pieces of silver to be given to Delilah. No doubt she feels like this is her civic duty to betray Samson. When Samson returns, she asks him about his strength, and he tells her if he's bound with seven green cords, he would become weak. But the Bible doesn't say Samson is drinking alcohol, but it does appear at times he may be inebriated while he is visiting her. Because after Samson is bound with cords, there are Philistines hiding in the house who attempt to apprehend Samson, but Samson is able to break out of the bands after he awakes. On a later occasion, Samson was bound with new ropes, but again he broke away. After this, Delilah accuses Samson of lying to her and mocking her. In Judges chapter 16, verse 16 and 17, she nags him daily with her words. That Samson finally tells her about his Nazarite vow, and if his head was shaven, he would lose his strength. There are many examples in this story that warn us not to be flirting with temptation or sin. This time, Delilah contacts the Philistines, and a trap is set. In chapter 16, verse 19, Delilah made Samson sleep upon her knees. It appears Samson could be drunk, or possibly even drugged, or maybe both. But Samson has had his last chance. The Philistines cut Samson's hair, and his strength is now gone out from him. And of course, there's always consequences related with sin.
Wow, what a lesson. We can, even little children, boys and girls, can learn from that. And yet there's a lot more. So Brother Mike, I'm going to let you tell us what happened to Samson as he was captured. Then if you would be so kind as to share with us all the golden nuggets, you can. We are all very interested to learn what the real meaning of Samson's riddle is and, well, as who the players in the story represent. So please, I'm turning it over to you, and I'm just hanging at the edge of my seat.
Well, folks, it's time to tighten your seatbelt. Yes, and I'll be happy to do that. The first thing the Philistines do when Samson loses his power is they bind him and gouge his eyes out so he can't see. Then he is put into a prison by which he is crushing grain in a stone house. He's going round and round like an ox attached to a millstone. Perhaps there's another clue in this prophetic story. It's harvest time. Later, there is a big celebration. The lords of the Philistines had a great day of sacrifice to their god Dagon because they felt Dagon delivered Samson up to them. And after their hearts were merry, which is probably a drunken celebration of some type, they called for Samson to make an example of him. The Bible said there were 3,000 people on the roof of the temple. There's that number 3,000 again. As the young lad led blind Samson into the temple, he was set between two pillars, probably chained to it. Samson now prays a humble prayer. He asks God to give him one final act of strength. If you noticed, his arms are in the form of a cross as he pushes the pillars over with all of his might. The stone structure collapses, and more people died in this event than all the people Samson ever killed. This event is a type and shadow of the Battle of Armageddon, and through the sign of the cross, all of Israel's enemies will be destroyed at the Battle of Armageddon on the Day of the Lord. What is the prophetic meaning to this story of Samson? To start, Samson represents spiritual Israel, past, present, and future. The Philistines are a type of the world. The riddle is revealed to the Gentiles, who expound the answer by the end of the seventh day wedding feast to Samson, who represents Israel. Just as the Gentile believers have shared Christ with his plan of salvation to the Jews for 2,000 years. The Gentile wife who Samson marries, who is not named, represents the Gentile church, who will also be taken out by virtue of the rapture. Earlier, Samson's wife will be given away to his companion, whom he has used. The companion, that is never named, represents the Holy Spirit, who has a connection with the church after Jesus goes back to heaven. Just as Samson had used his companion, Israel has used the Holy Spirit but denied the power thereof. The young lion who confronts Samson in the vineyard and had honey in its carcass is none other than the lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus the Messiah. And just as the lion had ended up as roadkill on the side of the road, Jesus was torn and left to die too. The jawbone that Samson used to kill 1,000 Philistines represents the prophetic spoken word of God, but a donkey always represents prophecy. But the new jawbone represents the New Testament, verse an old jawbone would have been something representing the Old Testament. Several skirmishes that Samson had with the Philistines are types and shadows of some of Israel's military campaigns, to and including Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39 in our future in that particular war, which is up ahead. The water that comes out of the jawbone that satisfies Samson's thirst represents the Holy Spirit and the abundant life that he brings. Another reason Samson is like Israel is because he was blinded, just as those who deny Christ have scales over their eyes. Romans chapter 11, verse 25 tells us that Israel was blinded, in part, because of their unbelief in Christ. I might add, there are some Christians who are partially blinded, too, because they do not recognize their Jewish brothers and sisters. Just as Samson never got it right till the last day of his life, Israel doesn't get it right until the return of Christ, and their prayer is, "Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." And all of the enemies of Israel will be destroyed at Armageddon on the day of the Lord. That is the type and shadow of Samson's last day. And just as Samson was going round and round, crushing grain in the storehouse, Israel was going round and round, 40 years, making their way to the Promised Land. And just as the Philistines controlled the Jews for 40 years, you'll find that in Judges chapter 13, verse 1. Just as Samson had gone a-whoring, Israel had gone a-whoring also, as they worshipped other gods in their past, just as we were in sin before Christ. But the big picture in the story of Samson is the riddle. The riddle stated, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong sweetness, that's found in Judges 14:14. It was Samson who came forth with the meat because he ate the honey out of the carcass, and out of the strong sweetness. Israel is strong because of the sweetness of Christ. The immediate answer to the riddle in Judges 14:18 is, what is sweeter than honey and what is stronger than a lion? Well, what is sweeter than honey? Answer, the word of God, Jesus Christ, Messiah, King of Israel. What is stronger than a lion? Answer, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Notice the immediate answer to the riddle is in the form of a question, but this is not the ultimate answer. The ultimate answer is not in the Old Testament. It's actually found in the New Testament, and the answer is found in the last food that Jesus ate, and it's not at the Last Supper. It's 40 days after Jesus was resurrected into heaven. The answer is found in Luke chapter 24, verse 42 in the King James Bible. Now, I'd like to ask people to make a note of that. Again, Luke chapter 24, verse 42 in the King James Bible. Now, the reason I mention the King James Bible is because in some particular versions of the Bible, it doesn't give the food at all, or in some others, it only gives one of the two foods. However, in this particular scripture, Luke 24:42, it's broiled fish and honeycomb. That is the answer. So when Jesus connects with the honey, he actually fulfills the riddle of Samson. So Jesus is the ultimate answer to Samson's riddle. Praise God.
Well, that is so wonderful, because when you think of all the prophecies in the Old Testament regarding the coming of Jesus Christ and how they were fulfilled exactly, and the prophecies of the future return will certainly be fulfilled exactly. And then we line this up with the Samson story. We see the parallelism is so marvelously wrought. I think there is a master designer, to say the least, God the Holy Spirit, laying all of this out in the Word of God. So what a wonderful presentation that is. Well, what do you want to leave us with? We've got about a minute and a half. Certainly in these two programs explained it very well. What do you think needs to settle in our hearts, and we need to let it seep into our souls? Just maybe share a little bit with us.
Well, I just wanted the folks to know this DVD, The Samson Paradox, is not just another Samson story. There are several things in this film most have never heard before, even a couple last day revelations. So you will actually see a picture of the 12 stones and the breastplate of the high priest, which is found in Exodus chapter 28. By the way, Satan also has 9 stones. There's 3 stones of those 12 he does not have. You'll find that in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 13. And we also tell you why Satan doesn't have those 3 stones and how the tribe of Issachar ties into this Samson story as well. So there's a lot of things, Pastor Larry, that people will learn in this DVD that they've never heard before, a lot of concepts that they're not familiar with, but we can clearly see a picture of Jesus Christ, Messiah, throughout this entire story. Thank you for allowing me to be on this program today. God bless.
Well, Brother Mike, we've thoroughly enjoyed it. I know I've enjoyed it. I'm sure I speak for our listeners as well. Thank you so much for your research. I know you're probably involved in another project studying the Word of God. Thank you for being with us. Okay, now our announcer, Matthew, will come and tell our listeners how they can get the Samson Paradox.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. You probably thought the story of Samson was just another story in the Old Testament. But Michael Smith brings out many hidden nuggets in it, like the rapture, the tribulation, and the Holy Spirit, and much, much more. You can have a copy of this excellent DVD titled The Samson Paradox for a gift of $20 if you live in the United States and $40 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our toll-free number 1-800-652-1144. If you would rather write to us, just address your letter to Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And you can order this DVD as well as all of our materials on our website at swrc.com. We also have Michael Smith's popular DVD titled Joseph in Egypt, for a gift of $20. Better yet, get both DVDs, The Samson Paradox and Joseph in Egypt, for a gift of $30. What better way to chill out when you're stuck at home than to hear something new in the Bible? That number again is 1-800-652-1144. The address to write is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And the website is swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
Pastor Rodney Howard Brown, leader of Revival International Ministries and the River at Tampa Bay Church in Tampa, Florida, was arrested for what officials say was the violation of a safer-at-home order. Hillsborough County Sheriff Chad Cronister said that when he saw images from a crowded Sunday service at the church posted online, he was furious. We received an anonymous tip that Dr. Rodney Howard Brown refused a request to temporarily stop holding large gatherings at his church, he said, and instead he was encouraging his large congregation to meet at his church.
Howard Brown argued that his church is an essential business, and that the order violates his First Amendment rights. Sheriff Cronister noted that Howard Brown's church has the technological resources to simply resort to online worship temporarily and abide by the order, but the church instead chose to endanger congregants. "Our goal is not to stop people from worshiping," the sheriff said at a press conference, "but the safety and well-being of our community must always come first."
Liberty Counsel, a nonprofit litigation, education, and policy organization dedicated to advancing religious freedom, the sanctity of life, and the family, said in a release that it has agreed to represent Howard Brown in the case against the county. The Religious Liberty Group said that while Hillsborough County issued an administrative order restricting all public or private gatherings, including community, civil, public leisure, faith-based events, sporting events, concerts, and many similar events that bring together more than 10 people in a single room at the same time, on March 20th, that order exempted, among other things, shelters. The order also gave 42 paragraphs of exceptions, including religious personnel. In addition, the order also exempted businesses which are not described in paragraph 3 and are able to maintain the required physical distancing, that is, 6 feet.
Liberty Counsel claims during the church meeting on Sunday, Howard Brown, among other things, enforced the 6-foot distance between family groups in the auditorium, as well as the overflow rooms. All staff wore gloves. Every person who entered the church received a hand sanitizer. And in the farmer's market and coffee shop in the lobby, the 6-foot distance was also enforced. It is also noted that the church spent $100,000 on a hospital-grade purification system set up throughout the church that provides continuous infectious microbial reduction that is rated to kill microbes, including those in the coronavirus family.
Liberty founder and chairman Matt Staver said, "The Hillsborough County administrative order has so many exceptions it looks like Swiss cheese. The order allows a wide range of commercial operations that are either specifically exempt or exempt if they can comply with a 6-foot separation. The problem with this administrative order," said Staver, "is that it was not reviewed by constitutional experts or vetted by a deliberative body. Neither the Constitution nor Florida law protecting churches and the free exercise of religion disappear. This order from Hillsborough County is not narrowly tailored to achieve its underlying objective." There are many despicable practices used by communists, Maoists, and Stalinists. But perhaps the most despicable of all is the practice of getting little children to report on their parents for believing in God. During the Cultural Revolution, China's communist government offered monetary rewards to children who reported to the communist government parents who said and believed things contrary to communist doctrine. It is still happening in the China controlled by that monster, President Xi Jinping, and his zombie police.
The report, supplied by the human rights group Bitter Winter, states, quote, "This despicable practice is part of China's crackdown on religion." In April of 2019, a primary school principal in Inner Mongolia gathered the school students for a lecture on the importance of reporting on religious believers. He first played a video in which a teacher was telling students to observe if their families or neighbors receive visitors who could be religious. After a student in the video revealed to the group that his neighbor had hosted a gathering of believers, the teacher reported the fact to the police. Subsequently, the neighbor was arrested together with a group of visiting believers, close quotes.
In October of 2019, a police officer showed students a pile of 100 RMB bills. Now, RMB stands for renminbi, meaning people's money. He also showed students more than 20 travel coupons to Malaysia, trying to induce them to disclose the religious status of their parents and relatives. Those who did so were rewarded with a travel coupon worth 100 RMB, approximately $14. The next day, the principal warned students that anyone who believes in God will be expelled from school. That is, of course, a frightening penalty. Someone who is expelled from school will live a life of poverty and deprivation. An education is necessary in China for employment and for the enjoyment of special privileges. Well, Marvin, this is really amazing, but you know, some groups are using the COVID-19 crisis to legitimize and promote assisted suicide as a viable option for patients. According to Kim Callinan, the president of Compassion and Choices, which lobbies for assisted suicide, the seriousness of the coronavirus crisis presents a good opportunity to promote what is euphemistically known as death with dignity.
The death lobby focuses on facilitating death and protecting doctors who are willing to be involved in killing their patients. The states of Maine, Vermont, New Jersey, Washington State, Oregon, California, and Hawaii, along with the District of Columbia, have all legalized assisted suicide.
Assisted suicide is becoming more popular in Canada, which has recently denied some health care to an ALS patient, but is willing to pay for assisted suicide instead. The family of a Canadian man says the government-run health care system failed their son, who felt his only option was to die by physician-assisted suicide after his request for home health care were denied.
Alex Shannonberg, executive director of Euthanasia Prevention Coalition, said, quote, "When you deny the necessary care, Sometimes a person, out of despair, will ask for euthanasia. I predicted this would happen, and sadly, it is now a reality, close quotes.
Advocates of physician-assisted suicide see the COVID-19 outbreak as another valid reason for avoiding a drawn-out and painful death, which is often the end result of those who contract the coronavirus.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. You probably thought the story of Samson was just another story in the Old Testament. But Michael Smith brings out many hidden nuggets in it, like the rapture, the tribulation, and the Holy Spirit, and much, much more. You can have a copy of this excellent DVD titled The Samson Paradox for a gift of $20 if you live in the United States and $40 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our toll-free number 1-800-652-1144. If you would rather write to us, just address your letter to Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And you can order this DVD as well as all of our materials on our website at swrc.com. We also have Michael Smith's popular DVD titled Joseph in Egypt for a gift of $20. Better yet, get both DVDs, The Samson Paradox and Joseph in Egypt, for a gift of $30. What better way to chill out when you're stuck at home than to hear something new in the Bible? That number again is 1-800-652-1144. The address to write is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And the website is swrc.com. Perhaps this is the first time you have heard this program. Maybe you've listened for a while and you like this program and look forward to it, but have never called or written in. We invite you to do that today. In fact, for those that call or write today and say, "Jesus is Lord, please send me the DVD," we will send you a complimentary DVD of our TV show we call The Journey. If you like the radio program, wait till you see the video version. It was banned by some TV stations as being too controversial. Since when did the truth become controversial? The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. And the website is swrc.com. Thank you for tuning in today. Tune in tomorrow when Pastor Larry talks with Rabbi Kurt Schneider on the Watchman on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Ministries.